Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 101.
Boom.
Are you looking for Akira?
Oh, he has been at home. I just never see him. I can hear him all the time. Yes, you know, the walls here are very thin. And when you put your ear up to it, you can hear absolute everything.
Okay, when was the last time you heard him?
Last week, he had a friend over, and they were arguing late at night.
Any idea what they were talking about?
I don't speak Japanese. I speak English, I speak German, Italian, French, but no Japanese.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I heard him say, Kami.
Kami?
Over and over and over again, they said, Kami, Kami, Kami.
So, as it turns out, the green trash can is not recycling. It's for greens, like compost and eggshells. Mm. And the blue one is recycling. I'm the black one.
Riley is acting so weird. Why is she acting so weird?
What do you expect? All the islands are down.
Joy would know what to do.
That's it. Until she gets back, we just do what Joy would do.
Great idea. Anger, fear, disgust. How are we supposed to be happy?
Hey, Riley, I've got good news. I found a junior hockey league right here in San Francisco. And get this, tryouts are tomorrow after school. What luck, right?
Hockey.
Uh-oh, what do we do?
Guys, here, you pretend to be Joy.
Won't it be great to be back out on the ice?
Oh, yeah, that sounds fantastic.
What was that? That wasn't anything like Joy.
Because I'm not Joy?
Yeah, no kidding.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did. Something's wrong.
Should we ask her?
Let's probe, but keep it subtle so she doesn't notice. So, how was the first day of school?
She's probing us.
I'm done. You pretend to be Joy.
What? Okay.
It was fine, I guess. I don't know. Oh, very smooth. That was just like Joy.
Something is definitely going on.
She's never acted like this before. What should we do? We're going to find out what's happening, but we'll need support. Signal the husband.
Ahem.
With a nice pass over the reeds, comes across that right.
Uh-oh, she's looking at us.
What did she say?
What? Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What? What is it, woman? What?
He's making that stupid face again.
I could strangle him right now.
Signal him again.
Ah, so, Riley, how was school?
Seriously?
Oh, you're kidding me.
For this, we gave up that Brazilian helicopter pilot?
Hi. Were we supposed to share it?
Yes, we're supposed to share it, bitch. I'm broke.
How have you been?
I've been great.
You finally got tips, bitch.
This estrogen has been kicking in. The only thing that hasn't broken down is these fucking arms. Everything else on my body looks good.
Oh, honey.
Girl, you try it. I look like the real thing.
So, I got some good news to tell you.
What?
I've been keeping a secret about me and Chester.
Girl. Woo! I know what it is. Oh, you're girl. Breaking up with him. Thank you. God, because, what? Honey, for him to be cheating on you like that...
Wait, what?
You didn't know?
How the fuck would I know?
Girl, because everything that you've been hearing on the block about the girl that he's been with.
Girl, you're the first girl I've seen on the block. Who is she?
Girl, she's some white fish. I don't know.
Chester's fucking cheating on me with real fish.
Yeah, bitch, like a real fish, girl, like vagina and everything.
I've been gone for 28 fucking days, and you mean to tell me that he's been out here cheating on me with fish?
Yeah.
Do I know her?
Oh, no, I just know that her name starts with a D. It's something like Danielle, Desiree... DD. I don't know, girl.
Give me your fucking phone.
It was shut off. I had to cover your rent last month. I've been told you this was gonna happen. All men cheat. That's why they're called trade. Do them just as dirty as they do us. Out here, it is all about our hustle. And that's it. What are you plotting?
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Mrs. Rachel Zelag.
Howdy ho, neighbor.
In this episode, we are joined by Anel Strauss.
Hey, guys.
And Katie O'Brien.
Oh, Katie O'Brien.
Yeah, sounds weird. It's weird for me. We are discussing in this episode and a few after this, the movies that we missed in 2015. In this episode, we are discussing Man from Reno, Inside Out, and Tangerine. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. All right, Mrs. Former Cruise Number One, that is Rachel. Let's get into the drink roll call. What are you drinking on a Tuesday evening? On a
Yingling.
Tuesday. What?
Yingling. On a Tuesday. Is that good?
No. Yeah. Okay. Katie O'Brien, are you having some Guinness with your Lucky Charms?
I'm actually doing the opposite of Irish. I'm drinking Dave Matthews wine.
Oh, yes, I do like that.
Is that Dave Matthews wine?
I thought I was making a joke the whole time.
She had a fucking epiphany at Christmas.
Which one is it?
The Dreaming Tree.
Oh, the white.
No, it's red.
No. I thought Crush was red, and I thought the Dreaming Tree was a white one.
The Dreaming Tree I have is certainly red.
Look at it again.
I feel like you're wrong already. I'm already on the whole correction police.
I'm pretty sure she knows if she's drinking red or white.
Dreaming Tree, is it the cab or is it the blend?
It's the cab.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the...
Just calm down there.
Well, I was thinking of the... Well, I was so excited about the Dave Matthews
line.
Nobody
fucking knows
Jay Eric over here.
I was thinking of the Everyday is what it's called with the white blend.
Oh, sure.
And that's also good. Mm-hmm. All right. Strauss, what are we having? Old lady drinks, of course.
You're having vodka diet tonic, and I'm having vodka the lime LaCroix.
Oh, that's a solid choice.
That's the Rachel's.
Whole 30, bitches, except for drinking. So paleo, I guess. We'll just call it paleo.
Whole 30 plus drinking. I like the ring of that better.
Yep.
Vodka and lime LaCroix is like the best drink ever.
Mm-hmm. It has to have a lime wedge in it too to make it real good.
Hmm. Sure. Not that I'm being a contrarian. Pause. But I don't really like it that much. I tell her not to put that shit. She puts the lime LaCroix in Bloody Marys too.
Because then it's less of the mix. So that
I don't know. I tell her not to put it in mine when I'm ordering her about the house.
I mean, I like mine spicy, so I don't really want. I mean, it has to taste like jalapenos or dancing on my tongue. So.
All right.
Who?
Well, getting down to business. We're going to start with my pick, and it's not because I'm reading this. It's because it came out first.
Mm-hmm.
It came out in March of 2015, and it is Man from Reno.
Hey, Sheriff, do you copy?
Yes, I copy.
Hey! He didn't have any ID on him.
What do you do if you find him?
Find out what happened to him.
In her native Japan, Aki Akahori is a popular writer and bona fide legend.
Is that your guy, Sheriff?
Coroner got prints off the body.
What's his name?
Akira Suzuki.
Suzuki Akira. I'm investigating a homicide.
It's about your friend Akira Suzuki.
He was just here.
He left the suitcase behind.
All the clues were in that.
But that still doesn't answer my biggest question. What did he want from you?
I don't know.
We'll be right back.
We're not here to hurt you. All you have to do is tell me where it is.
Hello?
The sheriff, tell me how it ends.
In a small town south of San Francisco, Sheriff Paul DeMoral is driving home through the fog when he accidentally strikes a pedestrian, a lone Japanese man. Just that alone. However, before an investigation could take place, the man disappears from the hospital without a trace. At the same time, Japanese mystery author Aki takes a trip to San Francisco in order to escape the press tour for her latest book, A Pot Boiler, in her world-famous Inspector Takabi series. Feeling lonely and vulnerable, she begins a romantic affair with a mysterious Japanese traveler from Reno. Her new lover is charismatic and charming, but abruptly disappears from the hotel, leaving behind his suitcase and a trail of questions.
All right, first of all, Strauss was definitely admiring your Del Moral pronunciation.
Del Moral?
Yes.
I was like, yeah, I just like the way he said it.
I am a Spanish.
okay, so this was my selection. My history with it is I remembered seeing the trailer for this earlier in the year, and I kind of forgot about it. It was one of those where you watch a bunch of trailers in succession, and it's like, oh, what about this movie? What about this one on YouTube? What about this thing coming up? And I put it in my notes, but I kind of forgot about it. And then doing some very brief Rachel-like research for the movies that we missed, I looked on a list of the top movies of the first half of the year, because those would actually be freaking available via DVD by the time that we did this. Mm-hmm. And Man from Reno was on there. It was one of the critics that I heard. It was his number one movie of the first half of the year. And so I was like, oh, yeah, I remember them talking about that. And so I put it on the list thinking we could get it via DVD, and then turns out, lo and behold, it is on Netflix Instant, which made it even easier. And I was like, yeah, I was interested in seeing that. So that's kind of my brief history. I'm guessing that nobody else saw this, right?
Before right.
Okay. So let's go to Strauss first. She loves it when I pick on her first. What did you think of Man from Reno?
Well, since I just finished it a couple hours ago.
Same.
I thought it was, well, and what's funny is Anna was popping in and out while I was finishing it, and I kept expecting something, like, really gory to happen, so I'd be like, no, get out of here. But then it ended up not being, like, a super shocker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't bloody or gory or that sexy, really, or anything like that?
Yeah, like, the sex scene was a little underwhelming. But I liked how they had subtitles and then it went to just English. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a lot
bouncing
of fun.
Around.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was fun how they tied in two different stories, and then the ending is like a super cliffhanger. You're just kind of like, oh, I wanted more.
Sure. Katie, what did you think of it?
I thought it was given the good old college try.
Hmm. I guess let me preface this by saying, did you like it more than Snowpiercer?
Yes. Okay. That's not a very good,
that's not a good example.
It's like asking Rachel if she liked it better than Old Boy. So it gave me the good old college try.
Yeah, I feel like there were some underdeveloped parts from the movie. I liked the mystery aspect. I thought, like Anel said, it was cool that they tied in two different stories, but there were some parts of the movie that because they didn't flesh out, I thought were unnecessary and just time-consuming.
Okay. Cruz.
What's up?
What did you think?
I liked that Katie said good old college try, because it felt like someone writing a mystery story and then rewriting a mystery story and adding things because they didn't think it was mysterious enough the first time.
Mystery-y.
Yeah, I was thinking, ooh, is she going to say mystery-y?
Nope. Not. I've only had one beer. Cause like, I don't know, I feel like it's like someone trying to, cause in every, you know, in most mystery stories you have kind of, I don't want to say cookie cutter, but you have kind of things that happen, and I think they're like, let's do, you know what? Mind blowing. Let's do fucking turtles, okay? Let's do turtles. Boom. I blew your mind. What do you think's in the toilet? What did I think was in the toilet? A gun and some cocaine taped to the back of it. No, it was turtles. So, I think that, the ambition of telling like a really good story was there, and some of it was good, like Anel said, like the ending where he just keeps, you know, getting to fly by the seat of his pants and kill people and steal their identity. That's pretty cool. It's kind of fucked up. But like, I felt some of it was like just kind of trying to reach too far and add maybe too much at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, interesting. I think that, with it being my pick, I think that whenever it's my pick, I'm always a little defensive and always want to make it better than maybe.
No, I don't ever see that happening.
Make it better maybe than it really is. I enjoyed this. I thought it was a movie that I liked watching. It was something that I was glad that I watched. It wasn't something that I would want to own really, or maybe watch again. I thought that it was good in that it did have me wanting to know what the fuck was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because at times I was like, God, am I not getting it, or what the fuck? Like, what's happening? Like, I'm not, you know, because so often in films we have the audience ahead of the characters, and this one the audience was definitely not ahead of the characters, and you're kind of figuring out things when they figure out things, and then sometimes you get to figure it out before the characters do. And it kind of was balancing on that line, and I was like, okay, well, I know that she probably shouldn't get in that fucking car with those two white guys.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know what the hell this cabbage shit is about, or the lettuce, you know?
Ugh.
And so, you know, I thought it was like, there was going to be either drugs or diamonds or something like stuffed
heart.
In the lettuce. Yeah.
Right. For like a heart.
To tear it apart. That would have been my first.
Yeah, rip that fucking thing apart.
Well, my first would be maybe don't let that creepy guy in your apartment to use your.
Yeah. She was way too liberal with the door openings.
Yeah, she really was, too. Yeah, because she's just like, oh, okay, well, you've got your ass kicked by somebody. Sure, you can come in and use the phone. I don't care.
Yeah, she did trust the Japanese man to use her phone, but then the two white guys, she's like, no.
Racist.
Yeah, super racist.
Fucking shit. So I did like that. And then once we did get to the end, and obviously this is a spoiler, but, I really did like how he wasn't satisfied with just taking the photographer's identity and just keeping it there. Like, I was glad that he was continuously moving on. And I really liked how the guy says, oh, my name is Japanese name. And the guy's like, oh, my name is also Japanese name.
Oh, yeah.
Funny. You know?
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's fucked up because...
It's going to be in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, no shit. It wasn't just like, oh, you know, nice to meet you or something. It was something very on the nose and obvious, which the film doesn't have a lot of very on the nose and obvious. And so I was glad that that's the way that it ends. And you're like, fuck this guy, man. He's just going to keep doing this all over and over and over. I also thought it was... interesting that your main character doesn't really make it.
Yeah.
And she's kind of a shit for basically just plagiarizing her boyfriend, fiance, would-be husband. Right? Because it's his work, right? And she just puts her name on it.
Is it all of them? I was confused about that.
It all was except the Melon Drop, which was published after she died, and so
yes, that's the way that I took it. Also,
her book was the final one that was published later.
Mm-hmm.
How did that get published if she was dead?
Because the killer did it.
Sold it.
The killer sold it. That's how he was going to make. And you know, I thought of Rachel when he did that. He's like, "Oh, I don't need those turtles. I know how I'm going to make my fortune." And I was like, "In publishing?
Yeah,
what a joke.
Yeah. I hope you enjoy that $20."
Yeah, really. That's if it's a bestseller, right, you dumbass.
It's super easy to get a book published. I don't know what you're talking about.
God.
Just knock it out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if it's like, oh, I'm going to kill J.K. Rowling and put out another Harry Potter book. I mean, I guess if that was the circumstance.
She seemed to be prettier first. What, Katie? You heard it here first. I will not be your alibi.
I was thinking that too. I was like, dang, that was pretty aggressive.
Anyway, so I do, I thought that was good. I kind of agreed with Katie though. There was some missed opportunities with characters like the in love with, like animal lover nerd guy.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
He didn't have, yeah, his part seemed a little.
It just seemed like he was going to be vital to the end of the story or something.
Well, and then the sheriff's daughter, like,
yeah,
they started that up seeming that she was going to somehow be involved, and she had a lot to do with it in the beginning, and then she must have gotten a job elsewhere and couldn't finish filming. Like, we just got to write her out. Right? Because he's like, I'm giving you the case, deputy.
Yeah.
I'm not writing on this. JK.
The only thing that I wrote, because with it being a film with a lot of subtitles, it's tough for me to write anything down because I'm too busy reading the dialogue. You know? And the only thing I put was, when is dark too dark? Because at the beginning, I couldn't tell what the fuck was going on.
No, that was terrifying. You never get out of your car if you approach an abandoned car with the trunk open.
And my comment was, is what fucking car doesn't have a dome light?
Yeah, he didn't have a dome light in his sheriff's vehicle there.
Like, he opened his door and it was still dark.
And I guess I was under the impression, it's like, okay, I get it, filmmaker. You're trying to make the movie dark and he's not supposed to see, you know, the guy that he hits and all of that. Like, I understand that, but all I'm seeing is fucking nothing. Like, I'm not seeing anything. I'm seeing some beams of flashlight, but that's not interesting to me. That's frustrating.
I don't know. I think it kind of worked for me. It didn't, like, blow my mind, but I think if it would have gone on longer, I would have been like, what's going on? But, like, I think there was just enough fog and creepy weirdness for me to be like, oh, my God, what in the hell is going to happen? Because, like, you know he's going to hit something.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I'm sure it would have looked really cool in the theater, too.
Yeah, in a theater experience, I bet that would have been better than the way that it played at home with our lights on.
Probably.
You know, probably made it look a little darker than was intended.
Fair enough. I definitely thought it was going to, from the get-go, thought it was going to be a little more sci-fi-esque. Just, look, because he hit him, and then the guy was down, and then the guy was up again, and then he was down. I sort of was like, there's something really strange going on, and I thought it was going to be some sort of alien-related thing, but
that makes sense.
That is the benefit of not having any idea of what's going to happen in a movie, though.
Welcome to my life.
You know, I feel like anything that Anel and I will actually go to the theaters, I feel like I already have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen already.
See?
You know, so I think that's what's nice about the show, and that's what's nice about Rachel's every other episode sort of discovery, is that she doesn't know what's going to happen every other week.
That's right. It leaves more to the imagination. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's for sure with the, I don't know what's next, but with that tangerine movie.
Oh, with tangerine.
Oh,
sure.
For the love of God.
I had no fucking idea what was coming my way.
I didn't either.
All right. Anyway. Is there anything else about Man from Reno? Anything that you guys have written down or anything like that we didn't get to?
I questioned if it was ironic that his last name, I know it's Spanish Morale, but it's also Moral. Yeah, mm-hmm. The sheriff. I thought that was,
Whoa.
It's a good character trait.
English major.
I wasn't. No, that was Katie.
I know, but I was just guessing.
And his last name was Suzuki, and no, okay, never mind. Evan.
Oh.
Maybe he drove a Suzuki, I don't know.
Maybe. Could have.
He invented it. Yeah, and like posted. I did write a note in here, specifically to Eric, no more movies with fucking subtitles.
Oh. You know what's funny about that is I didn't really know that when I watched the trailer.
It doesn't.
Because in the trailer, they were all speaking English.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That's where they get you.
Well, that was the thing. It was like,
it's true.
We're going to show you all the English parts so you stupid Americans will watch this movie.
Yep.
Into the theater. Oh, got me again.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, golly, they're talking American. Let's watch this one.
Talk British to my kids.
Talk British to my kids.
So I was definitely duped on that end, I guess. All right, so is that it? Is that the extent of Man from Reno?
Sure.
I think so.
All right. I think the general consensus is not the best, but not the worst thing I've picked for you guys to watch.
Sure.
It should be noted that the movie was crowdfunded through Kickstarter.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was, hey, we need, you know, $600,000 or whatever they asked for, and if you give us, you know, $10 or whatever and help contribute to the film, then it'll get made. If not, it won't get made. And so it obviously got crowdfunded and was released on iTunes originally, and then that's why it's now on Netflix.
Huh. That's kind of a fun idea.
So there you go.
Yeah. So you can get money for, like, whatever you want on Kickstarter?
For whatever you want, as long as you can make a video and get enough people to buy into your deal.
Oh my god, I just found how I'm going to stay home for the rest of my life.
Yeah. My friend has this game called Exploding Kittens. Have you guys heard of it at all?
No.
Probably not. Anyway, you know, like, from The Onion, how they have those, like, caricatures of doing that face where it's, like, crying, and then they do, like, all these different memes with it.
Yeah.
Well, it's the guys that drew that, and then they did this card game. It's called Exploding Kittens, and they did a Kickstarter, and I guess it was a huge deal.
Huh.
Anyway, Google it.
Interesting. Anyway, fuck you guys, Google it.
Basically.
That's basically
it's
how that...
It's a fun game.
It feels like I'm on my own, fuck it. This is how this is happening. Okay, so before getting into our last two films, we should mention that Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Just go to audibletrial.com/plainlabelpodcast and get started today. Our second film is by the newly Irish Katie O'Brien. It is from June, and it is Inside Out.
So, Riley, how was the first day of school?
Fine, I guess.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong.
Signal the husband.
Looking at us. What did she say?
Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What is it, woman? What?
I'm joy. This is sadness. That's anger.
What?
This is disgust. And that's fear. We're Riley's emotions. These are Riley's memories. They're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag.
I wanted to maybe hold one.
What happened? Sadness?
She did something to the memory.
Is everything okay?
I don't know.
Take it back, Joy!
I'm trying.
Joy, no,
let's
wait.
Go!
The core memories!
No!
Can I say that curse word now?
What do we do now?
Nothing's working. Why isn't it working?
We have a major problem.
Oh, I wish Joy was here.
We can fix this. We just have to get back to headquarters.
That's long-term memory. You could get lost in there.
Think positive.
Okay. I'm positive you will get lost in there.
What was that?
Was it a bear?
There are no bears in San Francisco.
I saw a really hairy guy. He looked like a bear.
This place is huge.
Imagination Land?
No way. Dream Productions?
Rainbow Unicorn?
She's right there.
I loved you in Fairy Dream Adventure Part 7. Okay, bye. I love you.
You can't focus on what's going wrong. There's always a way to turn things around. It's Broccoli.
Congratulations, San Francisco. You've ruined pizza.
Who's the birthday
girl!
Growing up can be a bumpy road, and it's no exception for Riley, who is uprooted from her Midwest life when her father starts a new job in San Francisco. Weird. Like all of us, Riley is guided by her emotions. Joy, fear, anger, disgust, and sadness. The emotions live in headquarters, the control center inside Riley's mind, where they help advise her through everyday life. As Riley and her emotions struggle to adjust to a new life in San Francisco, turmoil ensues in headquarters. Although Joy, Riley's main and most important emotion, tries to keep things positive, the emotions conflict on how best to navigate a new city, house, Oxford comma, and school.
Usually when you say that, it has an Oxford comma in there.
It didn't. I had to add one.
Yeah. It's like I'm editing and pointing out that I'm editing. She's Louise. All right, so Katie, tell me about you and Inside Out. This was a rare, not really to script. It was a, you know what, go fucking watch this movie instead of a movie we missed, right?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about it.
We went to go see this movie for Blake, my husband, for those of you who don't know, his birthday, and he doesn't like movies, so this was a big feat to actually get him to pick one and go. And like most Pixar movies, I generally like. There are a few Pixar movies I run into that I don't like. But this was, I mean, I know it was about emotions, but it literally evoked all of the emotions. And it, to me, was more of an adult film like most Pixar movies than it was for kids. But I feel like there's a really big part of it that sort of underlining in its use. I don't know if you want to get into that right now. I want to hear everyone else's synopsis first.
Okay. Cruiser.
I watched this when I had dinner with Katie and Blake, and Katie said, you need to watch this movie. I think I waited until it came out on Redbox, and then I got it, and I watched it like one night while Brad was downstairs watching like some dumb sports that I didn't want to watch. And he came upstairs, it was almost over, and he's like, you got this, and watch it without me? So we had to watch it again. So I watched it twice, like right in a row, which was fine, because I had no problem watching it twice, but that's how that worked. I didn't think he wanted to watch a Pixar movie, but apparently he did, so.
That's cute.
That is cute. Okay, so our history, I'll go first, obviously, with Inside Out is that we took Anna to the movies to see it. I was, like, really sort of jazzed to come out of the theater and then discuss it, and I was going to discuss it with a former guest host of ours, Alan, and I were going to talk about it. And I saw it and was kind of... I was kind of like, okay, well, yeah, we had a good time with that, and we had a kind of a funny moment during the movie where Joy is running around with the little elephant-looking guy.
Bing Bong.
Bing Bong. And there's the sign that says, like, keep out or don't do something or whatever. And they do it anyway, right?
Sure.
It's when they're outside of headquarters.
Yeah. Just
right?
Okay.
So anyway, there's a clear sign that says they're not supposed to do something, and they do it anyway, and Anna, like, yells out in the theater, oh, don't go there, or something like that.
It says keep out!
Yeah, it says keep out! And so she gets...
quiet theater.
And so she immediately gets very embarrassed and starts crying, and I'm like, what the hell? And I was like, she's a little girl. I'm like, I don't care.
No, we were laughing so hard.
Well,
let's be honest,
I was
here
thinking the things like... You know, I was thinking more like a 60-year-old old man, but...
We were consoling her and laughing, and it was adorable.
Well, you were consoling her, I was just laughing. But anyway, so I enjoyed the movie. I think what my problem was is I really tend to pull back from movies that are trying to make me feel the feels.
Yes, you do, and you're a dick about it.
Mm-hmm. And so I remember seeing the trailers, and I was like, holy shit, like, that's going to make me feel all the feelings. And then when I watched
what
it...
feelings?
And then when I watched it, I was like, I kind of watched it expecting to be drug along by my emotions, and so then I sort of put the barrier up and was like, well, I'm not going to let it happen. You know what I mean?
Like, I can see that.
I kind of had the barrier of like, well, I know this is coming, so I'm going to be prepared. And then when the emotional parts hit, it didn't hit me as hard because I was prepared for them. So it was kind of like the opposite of what we just said about the last film, to where I sort of knew what to expect. And because of that, it didn't impact me as much as the film probably should have. But because of my own expectations and my own knowledge of the film, it didn't hit me as hard as it should have.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, Strauss, anything I missed out, or what did you think of
well,
of the
first
movie?
Of all, what about that little short film before Inside Out?
Oh, that now
have
see
you
that,
guys seen that?
Yeah. That got me much harder than the actual movie.
I don't remember it.
It's the lava. Lava you, lava me.
What, Katie?
The volcanoes.
Yeah, that wasn't on the DVD.
It was much longer than their other short films, but I will say that because Blake has no experience in Pixar movies, that ended and he looked at me and said, "Was that the movie?"
Well, Cruz, I'm assuming that has to be a special feature or something.
Well, I didn't know if I don't know. Maybe I did and I don't remember.
Yeah, it's probably just under a different menu.
But it's an old man volcano and he's singing to this sexy volcano thing.
No. Nope.
Comparatively. And
sexy volcano thing.
I think it's a volcano, isn't it?
Eric is just going, he's just winging it right now, so.
Well, I don't recall what the woman volcano is. But anyway, so he sings to it, and it's like it's a Hawaiian sounding thing, and it's really good. I like that quite a bit.
All right.
So anyway, sorry, Strauss. Go ahead.
If you can, Rachel, I'd look up that little short film
for sure.
I thought Inside Out was really cute because I got to experience it with Anna, mm-hmm. and she really liked it, and we were looking at each other, and we were kind of, there was moments where we were both kind of crying together when Riley was going through the feels. I thought it was really cute. I mean, I've seen it like a couple times since it came out, and usually with movies with Anna, we watch them like at least 10 times. So I'm kind of surprised we haven't watched this one more.
Yeah, she's seen it kind of a lot, but we haven't been around when she's been watching it, I feel like.
Yeah, and it hasn't really been one that I have said, let's watch this again. I feel like there's other Pixar ones that have come out, or, you know, like Wreck-It Ralph, or I don't know. There's other ones that I've chosen to put in more than that one, and I don't know why, because it's great. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just being busy, but it's a super cute movie, and I think they did a really good job at depicting emotions that sometimes parents aren't, like, don't give enough time to realize is going on with their children because we're so busy with our lives. So it was kind of nice to slow down and be like, oh, I need to realize that could be going on with Anna.
You know, that's not really going, like, there aren't actually little.
I know, okay. There's not, like, little marbles
okay.
in her
no,
head.
No, I'm just double-checking.
Yeah.
Anelle's going to be a real shitty psychologist someday if that's what she's
doing. Listen, you need to up your positivity marbles, okay? Let's just work through this.
Is Mindy Kaling in your mind right now? Is disgust dominating your head? That's one of the things I thought was interesting is we had, you know, from The Office / Parks and Rec, we had 3 out of the 5 emotions in there. And that was something that I thought was cute, but at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, that's... You know, Phyllis is in the office and she's whining about Michael doing something.
That was the perfect voice for sadness.
She was
well, of course.
Sadness. Yes.
Yeah. And then we had, you know, Mindy Kaling and obviously,
Fuller.
You know.
I would be okay with
Fuller
being on his head.
With Amy Fuller being in her head?
Yeah.
I think Anel's got some kind of unnatural thing going on with that.
No,
with Leslie.
I have the advantage of having two close friends who work with children with autism. So mental health is something that is a common discussion in our daily lives. And this was a movie that they felt would be very appropriate in trying to teach children with autism or people with that mental disability how you're supposed to react to emotions and what emotions mean, because that is something that they have a hard time with usually. And so we had kind of talked about this and how it's a really good way to show that everyone has different emotions that sort of run them. One thing that I did read about that I thought was interesting is that eating dinner at the table with the family, and then you see the parents' emotions, which is one of my favorite scenes.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
You see that, like, with the little girl, Amy Poehler runs the show, Joy runs the show, but with the mother, the sadness character runs the show, and with the father, the anger character runs the show. And so, yeah. It's just
red alert.
Just like, yeah, it's like one of those things where, I think this is the type of movie that would be a lighthearted way to at least keep the attention of and help teach that. And I think that there was a lot that went into it as far as mental health goes. So if you sort of rewatch it with that in mind, it's a very different watch. But
so what character did you identify with the most, Katie?
I mean, I think only because I love Amy Poehler.
What do you mean? I mean, I think that Katie would obviously be the Joy one, right? I mean, has people seen her Mexico photos or her Mexico messages and whatnot?
Of course. I mean,
what were your hashtags again?
O'Brien Honey Weird and Tequila Mockingbird, right?
Oh, yes. We're actually finishing Tequila Mockingbird tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
And I had one of the girls that is a senior said, you know what? I thought that was Tequila Mockingbird for like the entire time. And I was like, I am really glad that you were not in my class.
And you're like, hashtag Katie O'Brien.
Katie O'Brien, yeah.
Hey, did Lucy just jump up by you?
Yeah.
She, her chain jingled and Bug got off the couch and he's looking for her.
Sidebar. I don't get it.
He's like, where's my cousin?
That's really funny.
I really liked that you said that about the movie.
About the autism?
Yeah, about looking at it from a different lens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it gives a different watch. Also, it's helpful because the first time I watched it, I was nothing short of sobbing when, spoiler, Bing Bong died.
Mm. Like, yeah.
You know, let myself go. I was like heavy breathing in the theater. And so having something in mind to discuss when you're watching it makes it so you don't cry as much during the sad parts. You might.
Cruiser, who would you be?
Yeah, I think that's when Brad came up the stairs.
Oh, God. You're like, oh no, it's good. I'm good.
Big Bug's alive, I promise.
Well, his favorite thing is to like, catch me crying when I'm watching movies. He thinks that's hilarious. I'm trying to think of a Pixar movie where, cause like, I think that's Pixar's like, sort of claim to fame. It's like, we make these movies, but we also literally try to make you cry in every movie.
Of course.
Like, Toy Story, the first one.
Toy Story 3.
Yes.
Worst. 3 and up were the worst for me.
Oh, God.
3 and up were both hard.
3 and up.
Toy Story 3 and up were the two that were the most difficult.
I don't know. This one, Toy Story 3 was hard. This one was, I was pretty bad in this one too. Yeah. Like not even, like even when she starts crying when she's at school, when she like figures out that her life's kind of going to shit, I'm like, oh my God, no. Stop it.
But then she learns that memories can have many different emotions.
And then I cried at that also.
Yes.
I'm like, it's a sad and a happy one? Oh my God. Is it coming to grown up?
You're like, this is me right now.
Like, I think I might be more disgusted than anything if I was going to identify with
it. Yeah, you're probably right.
Does anybody want to take a guess as to which one I would be?
You would be Bill Hader.
No.
Is that anger?
No. Bill Hader was the scared one.
What was the name?
He was the little purple guy. He was
Fear?
Fear.
Fear. Yeah. Fear, that's right.
I was definitely Lewis Black in his little flat top.
No, I don't, like, I can't, like, and that's why I wonder, like, how the story plotting came about and how they settled on those characters. Because obviously there are a lot of other different emotions, and so I wonder how they narrowed it down to be like, these are the five that we're going with. Because, like, I wouldn't say, if someone asked me to describe you, I wouldn't be like, he's the angry guy from Inside Out. I would say more like, he's the guy from Up. Or something like that. Yeah. Which has a lot more emotions to it, so you're welcome, but.
I think they're, maybe like, research into splitting hairs as far as emotion goes probably went from when you combine two emotions, it creates another emotion.
So it's like purple.
Right. And so I think they were doing the primary colors of emotion where let's pick out these basic distinct things and then we can show that when you combine two things, it creates another emotion entirely.
Primary colors of emotion is a sweet alt rock.
Well, and like,
it's a book title.
With like picking the emotions too, those are also like your primary emotions. Mm-hmm. Like in psychology classes, there people have gone over to study cultures that don't speak the language, but they'll show them those facial expressions: fear, sadness, anger, joy, and they can like pick those out, and those, you know, those all make sense no matter what your language is. Like, we all have those emotions.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That is interesting. Strauss always dropping the fucking psychology.
Right?
Tell you what.
God, I'm paying for it. I should
Jesus
try.
Christ. Alright, yeah, so what else we got? What else we got about Inside Out? How do you guys think it stacks up compared to the other Pixar films? Because I know that they've taken a hit recently because The Good Dinosaur wasn't a huge hit like they'd wanted it to be.
Well, couldn't you tell that wasn't going to be that good?
Well, I mean, it was one that I don't know that it was purely. I guess I didn't look this up, so I'm kind of Rachel Zlagging it right now. But I don't think it was purely a Pixar production. Because it's rare for them to do two in 1 year.
Yeah. I thought it was sponsored by Sinclair, but that's just me.
Right? Yes, eerily like the Sinclair dinosaur.
See? I wasn't the only one in America.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. So what do you think? Is this in the top couple of Pixar? Is it kind of in the middle? Or what do we think on that?
I would say, well, at least personally, it's definitely a top movie for me in general. So I would obviously put it at the top. I don't know from like a children's perspective if that would be different, but I really like this as the pseudo adult that I am.
Oh man, I like that. Yeah.
What about you, Cruz?
I would say it would be in my top Pixar movies. It had, you know, cause it has all the components that you need for a good Pixar, adorable characters, and then your crying moment, apparently. And then, a happy ending. So, yeah.
Strauss, what do you think?
I feel like I need to watch it more, but it's definitely in my top. Cause I was going through my list of categories as many as I could that I really like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely up there.
Yeah.
But I want to make time to watch it more.
Sure. I think that there are some that I personally enjoy a little bit better, but I think that it's definitely in the upper half. Like, you know, it's in the upper group, you know, with those like.
It's an elite quarterback of Pixar.
With those like your Toy Story 1 and 3, cause I think 2 is a hot mess, but.
What?
Up, and I don't like to. I hate that Jessie girl. I hate that whole storyline.
That's me.
Anyway, but you have like Wall-E and Up, and
you know, if we're being honest, Up really wasn't one of my favorites.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think the beginning hit me so hard, where the rest I was just kind of like trying to keep it together.
The beginning was good, but I don't identify with a crabby old man or a little fat Boy Scout or a talking dog.
And he then, has an emotional attachment to
it. Yeah, I find that difficult to believe.
Once they get to the island, there's just like, it kind of just went downhill for me. It was like,
what's funny is that where this one could be, you know, like Anel's talking about seeing the movie with Anna and through Anna's eyes and together with her and all that. That's kind of what Up would be out of the Pixar films for me, to where it's like, okay, this is the sort of equivalent that I would have, right? This would be the most closely associated to me. That and the Toy Story films, you know, with the whole, you know, giving away the things you used to love and growing up and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So.
Was A Bug's Life Pixar?
That was one of their first ones? Was early Pixar, yeah.
Love that one.
Really?
Bug's Life? It's a good one.
Because I would watch it with my little brothers. I always had a reason to watch Disney movies, mm-hmm. or Pixar or whatever. I always had a reason, and I probably would have watched them anyway, like Rachel. But I've always had like a scapegoat. Like brothers or
like, oh,
child.
Well, my brother wants me to watch this.
Bug's Life is always, I liked that one.
Oh, interesting. I think that's, you know, honestly, outside of Cars and Cars 2, which I have not seen and will not see.
You haven't seen the early ones?
That's the only other one that I haven't seen.
I never saw Cars 2, but I thought Cars was cute.
I thought it was cute, yeah. What would be the best one? What's the best Pixar movie so far?
I mean, Inside Out is one of my favorite movies in general, so I'm just going to throw that out, but.
Wow, nice.
So you think that this is the best one so far?
I think they, outdid themselves.
Yeah, they keep getting better. Besides the dinosaur one.
I really like what the attempt is in WALL-E. I think it's interesting that you have a movie that goes like 20 some minutes with no words.
I think WALL-E's adorable. I own that movie.
I would think that one is one that's probably, without having a list in front of me, I'd think that that's probably my favorite one. And that was one where I was very much like, oh, fuck this WALL-E movie, fucking Short Circuit animated. Yeah, right, wow. I'm not gonna like this at all.
What is Short Circuit animated?
Oh, Short Circuit, come on. Cruz, you know what Short Circuit
is? Yeah.
It's an 80s robot movie with Elizabeth Shue from the first Karate Kid movie, and Leaving Las Vegas.
I took my nanny kids to watch WALL-E, and I was like, it's kind of really scary when they show that in the future we're all fatties that have to ride around on the thing, and I was like, oh my god, I wonder if I'm going to have to answer some really weird questions on the way home, but they didn't say anything, so I don't know.
Gang, I'm going to just fill you in really quick. There are some pretty key Pixar movies we're missing.
All right.
Like what?
Good.
Monsters, Inc.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Finding Nemo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I was going to say that, by the way.
Hard pass.
Brave, which is one of my all-time
favorites. Oh, yeah.
Ratatouille is another great movie.
Yes.
Incredibles. I mean, Pixar.
What about,
not doing
Wreck-It Ralph?
No, I don't think that's a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
Damn.
Aren't they doing Incredibles, too?
Yeah, they are.
I really liked Incredibles, and I couldn't get, like, we own two copies of it somehow.
Yeah, we have.
And I could barely get Anna to watch it, and I would, like, just put it on, and she'd go play, and I'd watch it by myself.
She's like
And now she finally likes it.
Yeah, I was gonna say, she's been the girliest girl that's ever girled, and so she's finally, you know, trying to watch other things.
You wouldn't have had two copies. I wouldn't have given you a copy of Incredibles, right? Because I don't have one anymore.
No, it's
one was mom's. Natasha's.
Oh, I thought it was your mom's.
And one was my mom's. If you want one, you can have one.
I can steal one. Because I had it at one time. I don't know where it went.
Then, yeah, you totally.
But someone has a copy of it that says Cruise on
Cruiser.
It. Cruiser.
Yeah. Finding Nemo, I forgot about that shit.
What's funny, though, is, you know, I think all of those movies are good, but the only other one that I would put up there with WALL-E, Up, and the Toy Stories would be The Incredibles.
No way! Ratatouille? Ratatouille was so good!
I don't know, because Ratatouille, I was like, okay, yeah, great, it's a I mean, it was fine. Like, I liked it. I had a good time with it, but I wouldn't think it was my favorite of the group.
Little Chef?
I mean, I loved it because we're, you know, we're becoming a real foodie family with Anna watching Food Channel every day, so.
Okay. Ratatouille is key. It's my whenever I'm sick movie.
Oh, yeah. There you go. And then it just makes you want, like, home-cooked ratatouille.
Oh, my God.
Who's tried to make it?
Soup. I mean, I'm really bad at cooking. I can do a mean cereal bowl, but I can't do much else.
Well, I feel like one of these days I'll give it a try. One of these days, what we should do, we should all get over here, and then I will make ratatouille.
And we'll drink
movie!
And we'll watch ratatouille, and then we'll all drink all of the booze.
All the wine and talk and fun.
I'm going to take a timesies and go get the bottle. I'll be right back.
All right, well, anything else about Inside Out before we move on to our last
film? Well, you had to grab the bottles and we started talking about stuff.
Sorry, my bad.
Anything else? No? We good?
Yeah.
Good.
All right, our last film. This is Rachel's selection. This is a real tough read for her. It came out in July, and it is Tangerine.
Hey, Alexandra, come here.
Listen, have you seen Cindy?
Cinderella. Looks like someone has a crush.
Cindy's back on the block?
Oh, yeah, she's back. She's back and she's going hard.
Merry Christmas, bitch.
Woo!
I got some good news to tell you
about me and Chester.
I know what it is.
You're breaking up with him. Thank God.
I'm gonna be cheating on you like that.
Wait, what?
You didn't know?
White light. Who is she?
Her name starts with a D.
Danny.
Desiree.
Destiny?
You're making me lose my game.
She's some white fish, Chester.
Did she know me with real fish?
Yeah, bitch, like a real fish, girl, like vagina and everything.
Girl, calm the fuck down, it's not that serious.
I will go with you under one condition. You must promise me that there's not gonna be any drama.
I promise.
Look at me in my eyes and promise.
I promise no drama, Alexandria.
Whoa! What the fuck?
Oh, boy.
Help me, officer!
You didn't have to Chris Brown the bitch.
What did you do to her?
Does your friend ever shut up?
No, that bitch been talking ever since I met her.
Why does he owe you money?
We made a business transaction.
You're not even hard yet.
Fucking hard. That's hard.
Chester.
Since him. Who's your man? Who's heartbeats for you?
Cindy, what do you see in him? Talk to me.
We've been out of jail for 24 hours. She started causing drama.
She called the police.
The cops are coming. Come on, girl.
Out here, it is all about our hustle. And that's it.
This motherfucking girl thing.
A working girl tears through Tinseltown on Christmas Eve, searching for the pimp who broke her heart. Katie, that sounds like a balderdash.
It's exactly what I was thinking.
Yes. It sounds like a balderdash movie plot.
That's what I'm going to keep that one in my pocket.
Are ya? I bet her name's Margot.
It's probably Margot, monster turned ballerina dancer. Don't worry about it.
So there you go. There's a little insight into some family board game activities right there. Okay, so Cruz, tell me about, you know, this is one of the things that I was fascinated by, because I knew that it was some kind of list that you found, or some kind of something that you found, where it was top movies, or top indie movies, or
what
something
like that.
What are you
talking about? I watch this movie every day.
Yeah, I'm sure. Of 2015, and so I was so curious as to how the fuck did Rachel land on the movie Tangerine?
Seriously, though.
It's called Google. It's this new invention.
Google.
And I just typed in movies out. I don't think I typed in Netflix, but it was like movies out on DVD 2015. And I'm pretty sure that this is like what the plot line said. A working girl tears through Tinseltown. And I was like, that sounds funny.
That sounds funny.
Literally, that was it. That was all I had for background. I had no idea what any of it was about or how it was shot or that it was the Duplass brothers or any of that shit.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I did note, because we, last episode, we talked about The Overnight.
Yes.
And
is that the same people?
The Duplass brothers were the producers of the film, and they also produced this film. They didn't direct or write either one of them, but they were, you know, giving the money and financing each of the films. And so I saw that at the beginning of this one and was like, whoa, what the fuck? Okay. I have no idea what this is about. Like, I purposefully did not look it up or anything. And I start watching this and I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this?
Yeah, it looks like Amateur Hour, but...
It is Amateur Hour.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
I don't know. Well, like, I watched this one and then I watched The Man from Reno and I was like, oh my god, this is what a movie looks like. Cause this doesn't look like a movie. It looks like a weird skateboardy kid following other people around.
You know why it doesn't look like a movie?
It's cause it was filmed on an iPhone.
It was filmed on an iPhone 5S.
That is stupid.
Yeah, the whole thing. And an $8 app. So that's why it looks the way that it looks.
And I think that's why it got such notoriety at Sundance, but I want to say, like, if you have to say, oh, and the reason it looks like this on an iPhone and people have to say, oh.
Right.
I don't know.
Let me ask you this before we get into what we thought of it. Why is it called Tangerine?
I thought that was her name, but it wasn't.
It's not her name. Her name was Cindy.
Cindy with an S.
Cinderella. Sindee.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it was called Tangerine.
No, I don't know.
I thought you were going to drop some, like, super knowledge, Brad.
No.
Yeah, way to go, Jared.
I have no knowledge bomb. That's just an actual question.
I don't know. It's weird.
I guess my apologies for asking questions.
I think it's so weird, like, wasn't Mark Duplass, did he have something to do with the league? Didn't he end up, like, was he a writer for the league, or was he just an actor?
I don't know. I think he's just an actor for it.
Oh, because, like, I feel like it's such a jump, like, with the stuff that I usually see him acting in and the stuff that he directs or is, like, producing is so above and beyond, like, what he... And I
don't mean
that necessarily in a good way. Like, I'm just really confused about his choices in movies.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting comment because Mark and Jay Duplass, so there's the two brothers...
Who looks nothing like... They look nothing like each other.
No, Mark is the guy from the league, and he's been in a bunch of other shows. Jay is more of the director, and he's been in more, like, mumblecore films, where it's like this, to where it's just shot very quick, very cheap, one location and outside kind of a situation. And those guys are definitely taking risks and trying to give people opportunities to make... their films, and they're helping distribute. You know, they're kind of helping to distribute, and that's about it. And, you know, they did The Overnight, like we already talked about, and they did the movie Creep, which is by the same director, Patrick Bryce, and that was a creepy horror film, and that is much different than The Overnight and much different than Tangerine. And so they definitely are taking risks and kind of trying to... It feels like they're trying to find their voice as to what they want to produce.
Right, what should be...
They're just kind of trying a little bit of everything right now, it seems like.
Alright.
So, alright, well, let's get into what we thought. Cruiser, this is your movie, Cruiser, so what did you think of it?
I don't want to go first.
Okay, well, I'll go first. I thought that, I kind of liked it. I mean, I thought it was enjoyable. It was, it's a movie that is... 88 minutes, and it was the longest 88 minutes I've ever seen in my life. Because we started this, and I was like, oh, okay, 88 minutes, shit, that's not bad at all. We can get this, you know, because it's like we don't start the movies till 10-something, and, you know, we both have to get up early now, and we're like, oh, that's not so bad. We can get this knocked out and get to bed halfway early, and as I talk, and as Anel yawns and tries not to fall asleep. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, that it'll be a quick movie. It should jump around. We have the beginning and we have a lot of really fun sound and music that's going on in the film. And we have these crazy characters. And, with that sort of setup and with those combinations of things, it still felt like the longest hour and a half movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
So I enjoyed it, but there were times where I was like, oh, okay, I've had my fill I'm kind of had enough now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like the scene where she goes into that horribly disgusting hotel with the horribly disgusting people.
Or she's getting the white girl, yeah.
And she pulls her hair for like 3 hours.
Yes.
She's like dragging her down the street for hours on end, and she doesn't have a and she's gross, and she just keeps, and I was like, how am I gonna yank this bitch around? Like, I don't know, that part annoyed me a little bit. I guess, I don't know.
I mean, you can't like get away for 1 second, just bolt. I mean, that girl did not try hard enough.
Kick her anywhere and just leave.
Some of the things that I thought were really funny early on that I want to make sure and mention is the, I like the fish and the white fish comments.
Fish equals real pussy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Wow. Biological female is what I was going to say, but you definitely beat me to the punch.
Oh, well, I was going to say Strauss doesn't say politically correct things. Right?
True.
Well, mostly. At least when we're not recording, you know.
There you go.
But anyway, so, I put, I promise no drama was one of the lines, and I said, oh, that's a cruise line if I've ever heard one.
Except for we're, like, realistic about it. Like, you'll never see me go into a gross place like that and rip some bitch out by her hair. I don't have time for that shit. Mm-hmm.
Too many drinks, too many books, too many
movies. Well, I'll just say something mean to you and move on. Like, I don't need to get, like, physically involved. It doesn't make sense.
All right. Katie, what did you think of the movie overall?
I was very surprised that this was Rachel's pick.
I learned things about my sister in these 88 minutes.
No, I mean, again, I literally walked into this not knowing anything about it. Which
it's the cruise way.
Yes. Is honestly probably for the better, because had I actually known that they shot it with iPhones, I'd have been like, oh, great.
Right.
One of those. Not that many movies are filmed that way, but I thought, like, the storyline legitimately went nowhere, and I know that it's, like, an indie film, and I'm supposed to keep that in mind, but I can't. She's just walking around, and then she finds this fish that was sleeping with her pimp fiancé and then smokes crack with her in a bathroom. It's, like, really hard to empathize with anyone, but I was mostly grossed out the entire time. I for sure thought it was an SNL skit for a minute. And my biggest comment was that she walked around all day in heels and her feet weren't bothering her.
Right.
That's not real.
There were a lot of, there were a lot of her walking and loud music scenes.
Yes. My favorite scene was when she's, like, sitting on the bench smoking a cigarette, and she's, like, trying to be calm, and then the music stops, and then she says, fuck it, and then she gets up, and I feel like I've done shit like that before. Maybe not to the level of stomping around and ripping someone out of a dirty hotel by their hair, but, you know, the night is young.
Fuck it.
Strauss, what did you think?
I feel like, it was, like, hard because there wasn't a lot going on. But if you were to think of a night of, like, a streetwalker's life, I'm sure this drama is their, you know, like, this is their life. And, like, this is their, they're just so wrapped up in these crazy little things because they don't have, like, big things to think of life. So I'm sure this is just like a normal day, just doing their drama shit. So,
you know what? I want to do like a streetwalker that's like nice. You know, she's just like doesn't have drama. She just sits there and does crossword puzzles and waits for cars to pull up.
Like the Asian fish girl.
The white fish. The I think she's a black girl, isn't she?
Oh, I don't remember what she was. Sorry, I just
that the Armenian guy's all pissed that it's a girl.
The taxi driver.
Oh,
she didn't seem like she had much drama.
That's because she was new.
Yeah, that's right. She was like, "You're on the wrong street."
Yeah, you're on the wrong place, girl.
You need to go down a block.
Yeah,
Okay. All right. Point taken.
I think that what is interesting about this is where Anel's like, well, you know, maybe this is, you know, how it really is. And we have, you know, well, I would like a story about nice people that were prostitutes. I was like, I wonder what Inside Out and Tangerine combined would be like.
Jesus.
Okay, so anyway, back to what I was saying. I thought the soundtrack was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I was entertained by a lot of the songs, so I thought it would be a fun soundtrack. And then the end was a little reminiscent of Requiem for a Dream for me, because each of the characters all kind of go their own way, and they're, like, ending their scene, and, like, I know Requiem for a Dream, all the main characters, they all kind of end up in the fetal position, and they are all just like, this is where our life is. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of how this ended. It wasn't as extreme, but I liked how it showed them all individually ending their character.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't just kind of end. So.
Yeah, and Anel gave me the shush signal because I kept wanting to jump in there.
Yep,
but
you're jumping a little too much.
But what I thought was interesting about that, piggybacking on what she was saying, is I think that it's everything looks a bit surreal after a point, and you're like, oh my god, this is so over the top. There's no way this is actual reality, to where a lot of the film has been based in reality. And it made me think of Ellen Burstyn in Requiem for a Dream, where they're showing close-ups right on her face, and she's freaking out, and she's taking all the pills and all that sort of
thing. They're in the donut place, it's almost like the fish lens.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, to where it looks a little different from the rest of it, and that was disturbing to me.
By the way, on my list of movies that I absolutely hate, it goes Old Boy, and then maybe a half step up, and then Requiem for a Dream.
Green.
Yeah, that's definitely one you can't unwatch.
And then one more step and A Clockwork Orange.
I've never suggested those other two. We actually already did A Clockwork Orange on a pod shot, so there's never any threat of that happening.
Good.
I thought it was interesting where it seemed like everywhere you turn in LA, you have prostitutes.
Yeah.
I will say in the 3 years that I lived there, I'm sure I saw pass by, maybe didn't notice, but definitely not as prominent as the film might suggest.
I thought about you when I was watching this.
I mean, it was all places that I've definitely driven by some of those places. I recognized a few of them in the film, and I remember thinking, like, I wonder if this is like a street that, you know, I'm going to say that I doubt they actually filmed a street where they use, because it might bring notoriety in a way that they don't want. But I guess I was wondering, I was like, how many times have I passed by a prostitute and not really noticed?
I had to go pee at that Taco Bell and you thought we were going to die.
I'm like, you get out, go pee, get back in as soon as you can. That was the sketchiest Taco Bell. We were in a sketchy area.
You're right.
Was it kind of like the donut shop?
I think it might have been worse than the donut shop.
I did put that it feels more like, sort of again, talking about what Anel said, it feels more like a day in the life than it does an actual traditional character arc or a story arc that happens.
Right.
Because there's, sure, things happen during the movie, but I don't feel like someone started at one place and then changed throughout. I feel like they're all pretty much the same as they were going in.
You don't think Chester's going to change his ways?
That guy made me want to vomit. I hated that guy.
Yeah, I don't think he's supposed to be very likable.
Well, it was like, I don't know. I didn't like the character because I wasn't supposed to, and then I also didn't like the way he was performing the character. Like, I didn't like anything about it. About him. I literally did want to shut the movie off when they were in the donut hole or donut whatever, when they were all yelling, because I was like, oh my god, all of the loud noises, I cannot handle hearing all the loud noises. I have this for 8 hours a day in school. Like, these are too many noises going on right now.
Yeah, I was trying to think, like, if I were in that donut shop, like, what my reaction would be if I was physically there. And I'm pretty sure I would just get up and leave.
Yeah.
She was pretty calm. I mean, she was handling it a little passively, but, you know, her classroom management was all okay, I would say. You know? I did think that every time someone walked across the street, it made me very nervous because I kept waiting for someone to get hit by something. And anytime I see a movie, it's that same setup where they just walk across and then a car comes by and just plows them over.
Meet Joe Black.
Every time. Yes, that exact movie, yeah.
No, that's just real life with people texting.
I mean, come on. And so I did see a thing where it's like 1 in 4 accidents are because of texting, and the response was, oh, well, that couldn't happen to me. And then there's 1 in 286 billion in winning the lottery, and it's like, oh, you're saying I've got a chance.
Tell me.
So I thought that was funny. But now every time someone crosses the street in a movie, I think they're going to get hit every time. And so when they were doing this like 4 or 5 times, not getting hit, I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck? Is this not going to happen?
Like, is this
what's
not
this movie like, going to be about?
With cars?
Yeah, what's this movie about then? Come on.
You should make that movie. Get on Kickstarter, hitting people with cars.
Sweet.
That would be good. Strauss, you got anything else about this movie?
I'm still just surprised it was picked.
I gotta say, the first 3 to 5 minutes of the movie, I had this, like, what the fuck look on my face the whole time I was watching it. Because I was, like, trying to get a feel for what's going on. They're having a conversation, but they're not really talking words. But are they saying things that I should know? And one of them's really angry, and they're just walking around yelling. Okay, so, like, I was just really confused for a while.
Well, in the beginning, they were having a hard time not looking at the cameras, I noticed. Like, I could see them sort of glance and look away, and I'm like, what?
Yeah. This? And some of the extras, horrible acting. Like, you could tell that they were, like, posing, waiting for their line, and then they said their line, and then they, like, immediately jumped out of character.
So, let me ask you this, though. This has been pretty highly touted as being a film that is highly regarded of 2015. Why?
I think it's honestly because someone shot it on a phone. I think if I wanted to watch a movie that was like all one point of view, I would just watch Clerks because it was way funnier.
Do you think it's also because of a minority and a minority?
I think so. Sure, why not? We'll throw that in there too.
I think it did. I think that's become like a trend. Like they did a Transparent television show, which was sort of like pioneering that. And I think it's become popular, trying like shining the light on this different lifestyle that people are now more accepting of.
Yeah.
And I think anytime it gets like day in the life and it gets like gritty and it gets in there, apparently it's got a little more cred than just kind of, you know, making a movie where people aren't gross. I don't really know how that works, so.
Yeah, and, you know, showing different lifestyles and.
Mm-hmm. What?
I don't know, just on the whole equality bit, just showing that there is a different lifestyle out there. I mean, I know it's kind of like a raw and kind of a rough way to show the transvestite part of it, but it's good to have it out there.
I thought it was funny because I think it's trying to do both. It's trying to show like a gritty day in the life, but it's also kind of like, do they really have things that bad? I mean, not really.
Yeah.
They're just kind of prancing around.
Not everyone is a streetwalker.
I mean, they're not just doing anything.
Well, I mean, even the
nothing
one
bad
like,
happens
they,
to them.
They, when like she has whoever by the hair, and they, she walks by those other two prostitutes who seem to be doing just fine. The ones that yell at her to stop having drama. So like, you know, maybe she's obviously like has the shortest fuse of all time. And so she causes a lot of her own drama, I think.
Well, it's also, you know, not every transgender person is a prostitute.
Right. Yes, there's also that.
That's what I said. That's what I said afterwards.
I'm going to be transgender. Well, better get that street walking going.
No, that's not what I meant by that.
No.
I just thought it was funny because it wasn't like it's obviously not a cautionary tale, which I would have expected with the being like an indie gritty kind of a film. I would have been like, oh, you know, don't do that shit because this is what's going to happen to you. But that's not really the way that the movie unfolded.
Yeah, there were.
And so I was just kind of confused.
You know what? There weren't any consequences. Even when she fights the guy who she didn't give a hand job to and the cops are like, you know what? It's Christmas. Go ahead and go on home. Really?
The only guy that got the shaft was the freaking Armenian dude with his crazy ass mother-in-law that I was waiting for someone to beat up.
He didn't even get the shaft. His wife was like, you know what? Sometimes you gotta look the other way.
Yeah. But the mother-in-law hates him even more than she did before.
Who cares? She's a bitch.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, mother-in-law is a tough deal.
Shut up.
You know what I'm saying, Strauss?
I don't know what you're saying. My mother-in-law is awesome.
Mine too, unfortunately for you.
Yep, sorry. Mine's great.
Yeah.
Mine's gonna be great.
I would say nothing negative, especially on the record.
Well, we already did.
Change of pace. I did look up why it was called Tangerine.
Oh.
Great.
And it is supposed to represent the hues of orange in the background of LA as they prance around.
Because it was all filmed like near magic hour or later then, right?
Right. Magic hour?
Yeah, that's what they call like the sun, when the sun's going down, the last hour.
Magic hour.
Yeah. If you ever watch a Michael Bay movie, they're all filmed during that hour. That's it. That's why it looks the way that it does.
Pearl Harbor.
Everything has the sort of sunset look.
I mean, not when they're bombing, because it was daytime.
There are exceptions.
So
with Pearl Harbor, the bastion of glory that is Pearl Harbor.
Now all I like to think of is that song on Team America World Police.
If you look at, like, Bad Boys, especially, everything's got that kind of goldish, sort of orangish look.
That's true.
Yeah, that's just the way
you see it. I'm interested to see Michael Bay's adaptation of this movie. So they're walking, and all of a sudden, four bombs go off, a bunch of soldiers come in.
Megan Fox is a prostitute, you know she'll be there.
Yes. And
everybody
gets guns. They got to defend their turf at the donut shop.
Everybody gets guns.
Yep, everybody gets guns in a Michael Bay film.
They've got heels for guns.
Yes. It's amazing.
Someone would say there's a prostitute the size of Texas, Mr. President. They'd say something like that, like Armageddon.
Yeah, hey, they're like Russian sleepers nobody even knew about.
Jeez. Quick little thing. When, you know, the blonde girl that she's dragging by the hair the whole time?
Right.
And then they're in the bathroom and they're waiting for her friend to go on for her performance.
Right.
Where the hell did she get her drugs from? Because she didn't have a flip-flop and she was wearing, like, boy shorts.
Nature's pocket!
Was it in her pussy or...
No, wasn't it in... I thought it was in her...
That's what they call Nature's pocket.
Nature's pocket. Oh my god.
Because I was like, where the fuck did that come from? I don't even think she's wearing a bra. So, anyway.
That girl was disgusting.
Oh, she was wearing a bra, actually.
Oh, then.
No, maybe she wasn't. I thought her tank top was like ripped in the back. And she had a weird double, maybe. You know what? I don't know where it came from. And either way, I wouldn't be like, is this clean meth?
It was not meth, it was crack.
Whatever, like, I fucking know.
That hotel room was one of the most upsetting-looking things. With all of the dumpy-looking males that were sit there with their sad wieners. And I'm like, oh, God, this is... Get me out of this scene.
I guess my question is, did they get to walk up to this hotel place and be like, can we rent out one of your rooms? Because we need to film a horrible prostitution scene.
Or they just said, you know, this is already going on, so do you mind if we just film you?
Yeah.
I mean, we won't use your name.
Is it room number 5? Right? Alright.
The party room, which one? Oh my
so
goodness.
Did you,
all right,
did you feel sad for the blonde girl when she comes back to the disgusting room and gets kicked out?
No. Go to school. Go to school, get an education,
you know what?
Get a job.
Maybe a tiny bit because she was on the street then.
Well, yeah.
Just a tiny bit. But.
One flip flop.
And then she kicked it off. She's like, fuck this other
fuck this flip flop.
Anyway.
No, I didn't feel bad for her.
Of course not.
Anything else about Tangerine before Strauss falls asleep over here?
No.
Here.
Strauss, you good?
Yeah.
Alright, so wrapping us up. I guess let's do this little thing. How would we rank these films? Which one was our favorite? Inside Out?
Yeah.
I guess. Then which would be next?
I would say Man from Reno is second place.
Yep.
Strauss?
I feel like I'll remember Tangerine more than Man from Reno.
Ooh, that's a good point.
So I'll do that one as second.
I think that I enjoyed watching Man from Reno more, but I think that some aspects of Tangerine will definitely stick with me longer.
Yeah.
I feel as though Tangerine will come in with the ironic bronze medal.
Like if I start calling people white fish, you know, that's...
I mean, my takeaway from that is Nature's Pocket. I really enjoyed that.
Oh, man. Yeah. That was unexpected and horrifying.
I can't take credit for it. It's from Broad City. Of course it is. Jesus.
Jeez, so there you go. All right, so wrapping us up, if you have any comments for the show, positive comments, or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, you can email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, where you can follow me. I'm at EricWilliams79, and Rachel is at LadyZlag. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. You could try to get a hold of Anel. She's probably hard to get a hold of social media wise.
At Anel Elizabeth,
but she doesn't tweet. Yeah. How about Katie O'Brien? Where could we find you online?
Oh boy. Where to begin? Let's see.
MySocialMedia.com.
Social media is cat_akisms across the board. So you can find me there.
There we go. Okay, so if you wanted to help us out a little bit, you can head over to Amazon.com and search for our wish list. It's full of movies that we want, like They Came Together, equipment that we need, and a whole host of other goodies in case you're in the giving mood. Just search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with more movies we missed.
Tell me a secret. Story.